Okay, welcome back. Hour number two already tonight, and Mitch Henderson is coming by to give us another mastery history lesson in contemporary history, which is being created so fast I call it history. Today's news is tomorrow's, well, history. Think about it. Mitchell, are you there?
I'm here. How are you doing tonight?
I'm waiting for the bright flashes off in the distance.
Okay, well, I'm going to talk about that tonight. So I'm going to open with Russia and World War III. Then later on, I'm going to talk about how to survive a nuclear war. Okay.
Very good. Okay, a couple quickies before you do that. At the top of headlines, I have a story. Here is where you can take shelter during a nuclear attack on the U.S. And it's got maps. It's a pretty good little article. It came from the Great Game of India website. Look at it. And what's nice is where I am is one of the blue circles where it's safe. Now, the other blue circles around the country where it's safe are also, unfortunately, downwind from nuclear and military targets. So they may be safe in terms of blast protection, but there's a hell of a lot going to drift their way on the weather. So anyway, look at that. Headlines real quick. Russia destroys satellite uplink station outside of Odessa. All NATO gear inside. All destroyed. UK Defense Secretary takes an emergency trip to the U.S. amid nuclear war fears. For security, no phone calls to be intercepted. So he's flying over here. He's probably here now to talk because they dare not do this on any electronic or digital platform. They got to talk in a secure room, hopefully where there's no, hey, I don't really care, to be honest, where there's nobody listening or no hidden mics. You never know. You just don't know. A Russian general, Surovikin, says the situation at Kherson is, quote, very tense, and that he may have to make difficult decisions soon. The new regions in Donbass, etc., are under Russia's nuclear umbrella, the Kremlin assured the world today. Russia has been warning over and over again that threats to its security are unacceptable. Been saying that for years. Get ready, dear friends. No joke. All right, Mitch, go right ahead.
Okay, so at the UN General Assembly, Russian Foreign Minister made it very clear that if Russia's existence was threatened, it would mean nuclear war.
Yeah.
The Western media keeps repeating, if Russia uses nuclear weapons in Ukraine, okay, well, Ukraine cannot defeat Russia, and Russia is not worried about that. What Lavrov was talking about was Western interference in Ukraine to the point where it crosses the red lines Moscow has already delineated. Even after Putin stated clearly at Astana last Friday, Russia has no intentions of nuking Ukraine, the Western press still keeps deflecting from the fact that Russia intends to nuke the West. They want you to think, oh, it's just a nuclear attack on Ukraine. It is not. It is a nuclear attack on us. Why would Dmitry Medvedev say that Russia would suffer from nuclear attacks when Ukraine has no nukes to attack Russia with? The pedophile Bolshevik Antichrist Biden regime is incapable of telling a good lie. If they actually listened to their opponents, they could do better. The fact is that at least half of Americans believe the vapid and inane official narratives, like terrorists blew up the Twin Towers, like you have to get a vaccination or you will die from COVID, or that you will kill others if you do not get vaccinated.
Right.
I got COVID the second time from vaccinated people. Like humans can control the climate of the planet Earth. Like white people are incurably racist and the only cure for racism is to kill all the white people. Like the 2020 election was free and fair. Like white people are the biggest threat to democracy. Like we are not in a recession. Like gasoline inflation started because of the war in Ukraine. It was actually well underway prior to the war. Like LGBT people are normal. But normal is a quantitative and not a qualitative. The fact is less than 10% of the population is LGBT, and 10% is nowhere near being normal, okay? You got to be at least 50% to be normal, okay? And like, we live in a free country now. These narratives, we listen to them every day, all the time. It's misdirection. It's to keep us asleep, okay?
Yep.
So last Friday in Astana, Putin made clear that there was no new military action in the works. War is very expensive in both lives and treasure. Russia wants the war to be expensive for the West, but not for them. Remember that Russia's economy is only the size of Italy's. Absorbing Luhansk, Donetsk, Zaporizhia, and Kherson provinces into Russia was a way to create a prolonged war that will cost the West a fortune. Sun Tzu says that prolonged wars weaken a nation severely, both materially and morally. So Russia intends to go about its business, consolidating their gains and creating a de facto situation where Ukraine will not be able to be admitted to NATO because it is at war and it has territorial disputes. NATO nations like Hungary and Turkey will veto Ukraine's accession into NATO. Sweden and Finland will not get into NATO because they are too woke to keep their word to Turkey. Russia has achieved its goals of keeping Ukraine out of the EU and NATO and liberating the ethnic Russians in the Donbass and preventing their genocide at the hands of the woke Bolshevik Ukrainian Zionists. What is their strategy? My contact in Russia spelled it out. Russia's most valuable asset is its people. They do not want to throw Russian lives away needlessly. Putin is a fan of Sun Tzu's Art of War and follows the dictum that if you can win a war without fighting, then you should do so. Russia can just let things stay as they are now and achieve their war aims. The fact that they are gaining traction on an alternate world economic and political order is intended to sideline and make the West irrelevant in the world. I ask why this change in strategy? Because nuclear war will be costly for Russia, too. Because the aftermath of a nuclear war will be so terrible. Because the pedophile Bolshevik Biden regime is too deluded to avoid nuclear war. Because no one will talk to defuse it. Annexing the four provinces in Ukraine changes the calculus. Attacks are attacks on Russia proper. It has shifted to a war of self-defense. However, all red lines are still in effect. If Russia feels that it is existentially threatened, it will fall back on nuclear war. It's really kind of done warning us. It's told us. We've been told. So if we screw that up, that's our bad. Russia just wants to make sure that the West is responsible for the initiation of nuclear war, at least in the minds of Russians. In February 2021, Putin did not know how things would unfold. He did prepare for sanctions, which he knew was coming. He did not know how Western sanctions against Russia would put Western economies into such turmoil. Being adaptable and flexible in strategy is very important. It is an axiom of war that your war plans don't survive the beginning of the first battle. This is why adaptability and flexibility is so essential. What Putin sees is many different opportunities that now present themselves. He can just wait for Western economies to spiral into the toilet, and the ensuing social unrest it causes can weaken or destroy the West. Our media tells us daily that we are doing fine economically. Biden has saved the day. This is pre-election propaganda to help justify the rigging of the 2022 national elections. Bolshevik Democrats are so unpopular and their agenda is hostile to the American people. They have to at least paint a picture explaining how they could have possibly won. It will be another lame lie. After they get their majority in Congress in November, they can pass their hostile agenda without worrying about what anybody thinks. Gas prices will skyrocket as there will be no political reason to keep them low. They will come and take your assault rifles and eventually disarm you completely. Only this time around, they're going to have to kill you because there's too many people with these weapons. Anyways, most of those people are white people, and they don't have a problem killing them. They say it all the time on the news. They don't have a problem.
They sure do.
That.
Yep.
So even in the West, even the West sending military aid to Ukraine weakens the West. Remember that 70% of those supplies go to the black market and to personally enrich Zelensky's clique of Zionist Bolsheviks in Kiev. In Europe, he can see that both the EU and NATO are coming apart. There is disunity now, but if Putin is patient, that disunity will accelerate as more people protest heating, fuel, and food prices. In other words, the West may just fall on its own. Such an outcome would be a victory for Russia and cost it very little. The defense is always cheaper than the offense. You cannot win a war on the defense, but you're not going to necessarily lose a war on the defense. As long as you're able to go on the offense at any time, you're safe. There's no problem. In the USA, Putin knows that he has to wait longer because Americans do not really value their freedom and will not protest things. He sees that more people protest in Europe, Iran, and even Russia than people in the USA do. Why should we? White people will be arrested for protesting. January 6th shows that it is a crime for white people to protest. They get no bail and a Stalinist show trial. Only Marxists are allowed to protest. In 2020, Black Lives Matter and Antifa made 10,330 demonstrations in 2,730 places in all 50 states. Burned and looted over $2 billion worth of property, killed 25 people, and on May 31st, attacked the White House itself. Somehow, none of this was a threat to democracy. Those who value their freedom in the same period had less than 100 demonstrations if you include Trump rallies. Destroyed no property, looted no stores, killed or attacked no people, and on January 6, 2021, only one person was killed, an unarmed female protester who was shot to death by a black Capitol Police lieutenant.
She was executed, as we know.
Yes, executed. Yet it is only the latter that suffered arrest. A misdemeanor is a charge that gets you up to 1 year in jail. Hundreds of protesters still languish in jail almost 2 years after, 2 years later for misdemeanor charges. They're doing more time waiting for trial than they can possibly get sentenced to.
We need to remember, Mitch, that Donald Trump summoned the cream of the crop, the creme de la creme of American patriots to come to Washington and make their voices heard. That was a setup. These people were all rounded up. It was all a setup. And look what it's done. If it wasn't a setup, he would have blanket pardoned every one of them before he left office. We know that. And for any of you out there thinking about Biden and his satanic, Luciferian, demonic son, Biden's going to pardon him. Hunter Biden will never face charges. Biden will pardon him. Some lame excuse, doesn't matter. He'll pardon himself, too. Watch. Go ahead.
Okay. So how many Antifa or Black Lives Matter rioters have been convicted of any crime? Hardly any. Bolshevik Vice Chairman Kamala Harris organized fundraisers to bail out Antifa and Black Lives Matter rioters. Demonstrations by white people are a threat to democracy, while Antifa and BLM riots support democracy. Sure. Okay. My source in Russia says that Russia spends a lot of money on economic, political, and social intelligence. That is why they have economic, political, and cultural officers at the embassy. But they don't think that we will do what they would do. In other words, they don't try to ascribe our thinking to the way they think. They only hope that we will rebel. The point is that Putin knows that you cannot suppress people that long if they have no heat in the winter and do not have enough food. You can't treat half of your citizens as enemies of the state and not have a rebellion as a result. The next color revolution may well be in the USA. They have taken your democracy away from you, your constitution away from you, your Bill of Rights away from you, even taken your children's minds away from you, taught your children to switch genders and encourage them to be gay. They have ordered you to do unnecessary things like social distance, wear masks, and vaccinations, or you lose your job. And Americans have accepted it all with minimum protest. We are a free people who are going to accept the woke slavery that is taking over our lives. Yes, we have the necessary conditions for civil war, but we are a nation of sheep. The founding fathers would not have let things get this bad. They would have acted by now. The Russian general staff thinks that conditions worsen this winter, America will have a civil war. European nations will likely erupt into protests that will bring many woke Bolshevik governments down and cause NATO and the European Union to falter. They think if they are patient, the West will destroy itself. It happened to the Soviet Union, now it's the West's turn. In Europe, they are seeing mounting protests in France, Italy, the Netherlands, Czech Republic, and Germany. Non-woke opposition parties have taken minority seats in Sweden, majority seats in France, and the government in Italy. Hungary will not go along with NATO and the EU. Zelensky asked to address the new government in Bulgaria, which had voted out their woke president. But the Bulgarian government said no. On the world stage, Russia and China are successfully creating a new economic and political world order. Many nations want to use local currencies because of the currency exchange costs. Changing into dollars makes exchange costs double. There are hundreds of strings tied to using the dollar, and if the U.S. has a problem with you, they will just keep all of your money by freezing it. The United States is a bad bank. Putin must sell the Russian people on nuclear war. He must be seen as doing everything to avoid escalating the war in Ukraine.
Well, I think he's being seen that way very clearly now by a lot of people around the world. You bet.
And must be seen as trying to negotiate peace. He wants to see the outcome of the 2022 elections on November 8th to see if Americans will accept another rigged election. Well, of course we will. We have stopped standing up for our freedom, and it is, in fact, slipping away from us. He wants to see what Americans will do when the bulk Bolshevik Democrats come and forcibly take your assault weapons away. Putin must be open to dialogue with Biden at the G20 meeting in Bali, Indonesia, on November 15th and 16th. He is open to discussions with anyone, like Erdogan of Turkey and Macron of France. Ukraine says it will not negotiate, and the U.S. insists that it not. The old Antichrist pedophile Biden has said he will refuse to talk to Putin. What a child. How immature. What the Russian general staff is hoping for is that the West not be adaptable or flexible. They expect us to keep doing the same pointless thing. Ukraine cannot win, which means the West cannot win. They have us right where they want us. If we get desperate and do something foolish, like specifically send NATO troops into Ukraine openly, then they have their nuclear arsenal to fall back on. The energy war will be critical for Russia. They are winning that war. Saudi Arabia led OPEC into cutting production. Saudi Arabia also asked to become a member of BRICS. They are allying themselves with Russia instead of us. Maybe Peter Joe should not have virtue signaled so much at Saudi Arabia's expense. The regime has no foresight or vision. Russia will use nuclear war when the West gets desperate and miscalculates. We have gotten away with much, but Putin's nuclear war rhetoric was not a bluff. They will launch when they feel they have to. We have a pattern of miscalculation, so it is only a matter of time.
I agree.
China will also wait until the West is too weak to respond. Chairman Xi must be careful. He simply cannot fail at anything. He will launch an attack on Taiwan when the nuclear war starts. My China source explained that Chairman Xi wants to be like Mao Zedong, but he knows that he is not respected the same way. Xi got his position by who he knew, not because of merit. He simply cannot make any big mistakes. It looks like we have a little time before Armageddon. Please use it wisely. This is the quiet space before the shit hits the fan, okay? So you'll notice that what I just said will not be in the American press ever and will never be in the Russian press because you don't want to tell your enemy what you're doing. Okay, I mean, I'm telling you what they're doing, and if you add it all up, it makes sense what they're doing. They're doing the right thing for them, okay? But, you know, they're just letting us stumble along. They know we're going to stumble right into a nuclear war. So as Pedo Joe gets frantic about something, he's going to have to push Russia to look big. You know, Russia's the corn pop of the world, and he's got to set corn pop straight. That is going to cause our demise.
Really well said. Very, very powerful first half tonight. There's no arguing it. It's as pragmatic and as logical, and it's in its linear thinking and conclusions. You can't get any better. That was superb. I don't know how much time we have.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. But I think that, I guess, the midterms and the freezing of the ground are two critical issues. What governor, well, he's no longer the governor of the Kherson province, I forgot his name now, he's saying that things are real bad there. And now the general in charge, Sorovikin, says that he may be forced to make some decisions that are very difficult very soon. And I think we know what he's talking about. All right, hold on just a minute, and Mitchell and I will be right back. With respect to Russia as we know it right now, the population and its support of Putin, what do we know?
Well,
how high are his numbers down any? I know there was some upset about him not taking care of business quick enough.
Actually not too worried about that now because he's playing a bigger game. Okay, he's playing a grand strategy game. He's not playing local politics. See, our government's involved in politics. Their government is involved in grand strategy. So just think of it this way. I want to, let me try to make an analogy. Say that there's a guy that I can't stand him, and I'd like to just kick his butt, okay? But there's legal issues, there's people's perceptions, stuff like that involved. So how do I get him to attack me? I get him to attack me by feigning weakness. Do you understand? Like they're feigning weakness to egg us on so that underestimate them and make a bad miscalculation.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. All right.
So that's the thing he's playing. He's not he's not up for election for a while, so
right.
He could play the long game here. Okay.
Well, that's what he's doing.
He doesn't have every 2 years some election. He's got to worry about what everybody thinks. You know, it's the end result that will matter. Okay.
Okay. Very good.
So,
so
we're in very much danger. The danger doesn't come from Russia. The danger comes from the Bolshevik Biden regime. That's where the danger comes from. They're idiots. They don't. They have no vision. They don't listen to people. They're lies. You can tell how stupid they are by their lies. It's like they really expect us to believe the crap they tell us. They really do expect us to. I think they believe it. But you know what? Not everybody in the world is as self-deluded as the Bolshevik Biden people are. Okay, so. That's kind of the big picture, you know. It's like sometimes what Russia wants us to do is they want us to be caught up in the little day to day details because they're making a big move on the world stage. Okay,
it's like
I said, Saudi Arabia. Not only did they vote to depress oil production, they actually voted to asked to become a member of the BRICS countries. Okay,
they did.
This is the new
world
order.
Just put that story up, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So let me get into how to survive a nuclear
Putin
war.
Putin is on solid ground. Let's just all right. Period. We got that done. Now. I want to again mention at the very top of headlines, above the first story, is another one that says, safe places in the U.S. from a nuclear attack. And you might want to look at the maps in there and read that story. It's done pretty well. It's done by an Indian site. And they I think they made the point. Yeah, you'll see all the blue circles. Those are the safe areas, and the red is not safe. But you got to think about the constant flow, the jet stream, from west to east. You got to think about that. You got to think about the middle level and lower level winds as well. And it's not a simple choice. And if you're anywhere downwind from a nuclear target or a power plant, you don't want to be there. But you can't. It's not easy to move. Anyhow, go ahead.
Well, I'm going to try to describe how to survive this war in simple and direct terms, okay?
Okay, yeah.
So only Russia knows the yield of the nuclear weapon that will strike near you. So I will reference everything as if it was a 20-megaton warhead. It won't be bigger than that, and likely would be about 550 kilotons. A 20-megaton nuke has the equivalent of 20 million tons of TNT. It is a big explosion. If you can see the explosion, the fireball can tell you much. If the initial fireball does not touch the Earth, then there will be no fallout. Okay, and most of them will be air bursting, because if you burst it higher in the air, the cone of destruction goes down and you destroy far more than you could if you had it hit the ground. It only hits the ground if there's an underground bunker. And I know Russia has bunker busting nukes that will go like about, if it goes at least 68 feet into the ground before it detonates, also it will not have a lot of fallout either, because it'll be tamped down.
Okay. Will we, question, Mitchell, please.
Yes.
Will we be hit with EMPs first? To disable everything.
I think it'll be the Poseidon torpedoes, and then they don't want to launch before the Poseidons go off, because they're not going to see the Poseidons coming. That'll be a surprise attack. And then once that hits, then they can launch the EMPs, and right behind that will be the regular nukes.
Okay? Don't forget that 40% of America's population lives within 5 miles of the ocean, something close.
No, pretty close,
So the Poseidons will generate the tsunamis. They figure anywhere 1,900 feet, and they'll go in, and they'll go for dozens and dozens of miles. As long as the terrain will allow it, they'll keep going. And when they wash back out to sea, there ain't going to be nothing left, not much anyway.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, so first there is the flash in the atmosphere that emits the initial radiation. Do not look at this. This includes intense ultraviolet light and X-rays. You need to take shelter. Anything that puts a shadow between you and the flash of light is good enough. Don't take more than a couple steps to get shelter from the light. The light has intense gamma rays and neutron radiation that can kill you. The gamma radiation in the initial radiation burst is much stronger than the gamma rays in fallout. How far this gamma burst travels is understood as the inverse squares law. The intensity of the initial gamma burst decreases by the square of the distance from the source. For example, if the dose is 1,000 rads at 1 foot from the source, it is 250 rads at 2 feet from the source.
Right.
When you double the distance, the radiation is reduced to one quarter of the dose. At 10 feet, the dose is reduced to 1/100th the dosage at 1 foot, or 10 rads in this case. That is why a simple shadow of a hill or a ditch can protect you if you are far enough away from the fireball. The light itself will cause severe burns. This energy travels in straight lines, so you only need something that will put you into its shadow. It lasts 2 minutes max. If you are far from the fireball, the radiation dissipates with the distance in the air. So if you're near the fireball, you will need the stronger shielding of a deep culvert or covered sewer system. Okay, so next comes the thermal radiation from the fireball. You need to shelter yourself from this also. At 25 miles, you would get a severe sunburn. Okay, accompanying the thermal radiation will be a severe blast. It throws debris about a high velocity, such that the flying debris can kill you. At 25 miles away, the blast will break house and car windows out. Okay? It probably wouldn't even knock you down. Okay?
It's 20 megatons.
Places to take...
Okay.
Yeah. So places to take shelter will have to be what is available. Culverts under roads and covered sewer systems are very good shelters from the explosion. Go to the closest shelter, even a ditch. Time is of the essence. A poor shelter one step away is preferable to an excellent shelter 10 steps away. You won't survive those 10 steps. Wow. The blast and thermal effects last no more than 20 minutes. And that's depending on weather and other factors, whether it's raining or not, stuff like that.
Well, if we can rewind real quick to your point about these are going to be, in all likelihood, airbursts, not ground bursts, because the Russians do not want a nuclear winter to deal with. Understood.
Right.
And much more damage with an airburst. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it does a lot more damage. I mean, listen, if you're near a surface burst, well, it only makes a crater about a mile in diameter, okay? You can be much closer and not be killed by it, okay?
Right.
Not by the bomb itself. The radiation will get you. So that's the fourth
blast
effect.
The blast wave from an airburst is wicked from what I've been able to...
Oh, yeah. It'll flatten everything under it. We're talking 25 miles for a 20 megaton in diameter. From ground zero, it's 25 miles out before things settle down enough where you won't get hurt.
Right.
Okay, so the fourth effect, fallout, will not always occur. Fallout is created by the fireball coming into contact with the dust that the explosion kicks up when it's close to Earth. In the first few minutes, the initial radiation irradiates the dust that has been kicked up in a surface burst, which causes fallout. If you are upwind of the explosion, you are in a good place. There will be minimum radiation. If you are downwind, you have very little time before the intense fallout begins to settle from the mushroom cloud. It will appear as an ash falling or fine particles. You only have about 5 minutes after a blast to find shelter. At this point, you have two factors to consider about radiation.
At what distance are we talking? Excuse me, Mitch. At what distance are we talking? 25 miles still?
Yeah, listen, if you're 25 miles away
within 25
from ground
miles,
zero, you should be okay. All
right?
You still have to take shelter because there'll still be some flying debris. There'll still be some fire, heat, stuff like that. But it's very survivable. It's 25 miles away.
Okay.
So travel, if you're in the fallout pattern, travel crosswind and upwind to get out of the fallout zone. You will not make it more than 2 miles before the fallout is too intense, so the better choice may be to find shelter or already have shelter ready beforehand. A simple slit trench can give you protection. Radiation travels in a straight line. So a foxhole is okay if you scrape the fallout from inside the hole and keep your body from breaking the curtilage of the top of the hole. In other words, the radiation is going to be very intense going over the top of the hole, but it won't bend down into the hole. You need a very strong magnet to bend these particles, okay?
Got it.
Even better, put logs over the foxhole and cover with 3 feet of dirt. The time factor is that every multiple of seven, radiation is reduced by a factor of 10. This is called the rule of sevens. So 5,000 rads 1 hour after a blast will be reduced to 500 rads just 7 hours later. Then 49 hours later, it will be down to 50 rads. It will take 2 weeks to be down to 5 rads and 14 weeks to go down to 0.5 rads. Distance can just be the distance from the fallout pattern, or it can be shielding. Okay, so there's three types of residual radiation to be concerned with. The first is alpha radiation, which are basically helium nuclei. This does not penetrate well. Your skin protects you from it. However, it is deadly if inhaled or swallowed. So an N95 industrial mask or a gas mask will protect you from inhaling radioactive dust. Also, your upper respiratory system will help protect you, too, but a mask is a good idea. Okay. We're not talking COVID here. We're talking radiation. Okay. So water cannot be taken from lakes or streams because it will be contaminated. Water from wells will be okay. Or from well-covered storage tanks. Even the water in bottled water will be good as long as no dust entered it. If necessary, the water in a toilet tank or in water pipes should be free of radiation, and you need only sanitize it with Clorox to kill bacteria. To eat food, the point is that if the dust can get on it or in it, it will be contaminated. And the radiation inside your body is more deadly than the radiation if it's outside your body. Hmm. Canned food is safe. Fallout does not cause what it comes in contact with to become radioactive. Just be sure to rinse off the can and do not introduce dust into it while opening. Fruits can be washed, then peeled. Remember, you just don't want to swallow any radioactive dust. You can eat animals. Do not eat any internal organs at all. Eat the muscle, but leave at least 1/8 of an inch on the bones. The rest should be free of radioactive elements. Huh. If you have cuts or abrasions, be sure to clean them out because they are a portal for radioactive dust to get into your bloodstream and into your body. So that's a big thing. Just remember, keep the radiation outside you. Don't let it come inside, not even a little bit. Okay.
All right. Yeah.
The second is beta radiation, which is just high speed electrons. They can burn your skin if the dust is on your skin. Wipe all dust off your skin and clothing to prevent injury from the heat generated by beta radiation. Wash any exposed skin and wear heavy boots and heavy clothing to stop penetration of this type of radiation. That'll stop it. Actually, that'll stop it. You just can't take these into your body. Okay. Decontaminate and practice good hygiene. 6 or 7 feet of air stops most beta radiation. So do not inhale or ingest alpha radiation, and do not touch and distance yourself from beta radiation. The third type, gamma radiation, is very penetrating, high-energy rays from atomic nuclei. It will require decontamination, cleaning off the radioactive dust, and shielding. Shielding is a method of putting distance between you and the radioactive source material. You measure shielding by half value layer thickness. This is the depth of a material that will cut gamma radiation in half. You need at least 10 half value thicknesses. So iron and steel, a half value thickness is 0.7 inches. So 7 inches of steel will protect you. Concrete, 2.2 inches. So 2 inches of concrete will protect you, 2 feet, say. Dirt, 3.3 inches is a half thickness. So 33 inches or 3 foot will give you all the protection that you need. After 2 weeks, it will be safe to travel out of the fallout zone. Once again, going crosswind to get out of the pattern. Radiation cannot be detected by people. So the only way to know for sure is if you have a radiation detector. You can also use this detector to make sure that there is no radiation in the water or food that you drink or eat. It's a small investment, but it's a good thing to have. Radiation is far more dangerous if ingested. The fallout and radiation distribution in the downwind pattern will not be uniform. There will be hot spots. The radiation detector can tip you off to these hot spots, and you can avoid crossing them. So a dose of 200 rads is enough to give you radiation sickness. Radiation sickness does not mean death. You should be able to get over it. It takes a couple of days. So just because one person gets radiation sickness doesn't mean that others around them will. We all have different thresholds for radiation sickness. We can all handle different amounts and stuff. Okay, so that, in a nutshell, is everything you need to know to survive a nuclear war. Okay.
And we will post this program under Mitch's name and columnist, so you can go back and listen again. And it's laid out perfectly, nicely. Well done.
Okay, so. We'll see.
So as far as the bright light, the flash, you don't want to look at it. If you see a very bright light, don't open the curtains and stare at it. I don't know how far away it has to be minimally invasive to your tissues and your eyes, your optic nerve and so forth, but if you're 25, 30 miles away, you're probably okay, but you still don't need to look at it. So look
don't
away.
Look at the flash, whatever.
Look away.
When I say if you can tell where the blast, where if it touches the ground or if it's up in the air, you need to just, like, out of the side of your peripheral vision, just when it happens, just notice where it was. That's all. That's going to give you information.
Normal height of an airburst.
If the blast is high in the sky, there is no radiation to worry about.
Normal height of an airburst? I know they dial it up differently, but what do you think?
Well, it depends on the yield. The higher the yield, the higher up in the air. They can be as far as 10,000 feet, even more in the air.
So a couple miles up.
To have the maximum down blast. But figure this out. From a 20 megaton bomb at its optimal height of detonation, from the point of ground zero, the cone of destruction is only a diameter of 25 miles. Okay, or 50 miles diameter, a radius of 25 miles.
All of you listening know wherever you are, and if you are in a target area, they will use EMPs, and you will be back to the horse and buggy days after this settles down in a couple, 3 days, if it settles down, and in other words, if you're not within 10 miles of it. It won't settle down quickly. So we've got problems. We've got no communications. We have no means of dispatching anything. And 9/11, what a joke. That's all over. When the computer age has been literally erased and we are put back 150 years, people are not going to be able to handle it, Mitch. They won't know what to do.
No.
They won't have a clue.
No,
they're going to start looting right away. I tell you,
they're
going to loot. They're going to say, we'll share your food. If you won't share your food, we're going to have to take it. So, and that's if you're lucky.
Yeah.
Other people won't be so polite.
Yeah.
So,
it's going to be rough
your neighbors.
After war.
You have to know your neighbors, and I hope you can get along with some of them. And I know that's not easy to do sometimes. Neighbors can be really very unpleasant people, and you want nothing to do with them.
Yes, they can.
Oh, my.
Indeed.
Yeah.
So I actually bought the 25 acres next to mine because I was afraid of who might move in there.
Good move.
So,
that's giving yourself a buffer. Very smart. Are you? We don't know where you live. We don't want to know where you live. We don't know where you are. Did you do an underground thing at all? Let me rephrase that. Do the people in your community, your area, have they gone underground for a bunker situation, or are they just preparing above ground?
There's one guy who's a retired Air Force Lieutenant Colonel. He has a fallout shelter. It's plenty of cement, plenty of dirt, everything. This is top of the line. This is like a fallout shelter that a rich person would build. So, and he's many years ago when I was in Laos during the Vietnam War, he actually was stationed in Yudan, Thailand, right on the Lao border, and he flew air support for us and stuff. So, I actually talked to him on the radio before and stuff. So
back in the day?
Long ago, we met, and then we moved out here and ran into each other.
Wow.
So,
did he take you
on a tour of his,
he probably took you on a tour of the bunker, right? That's a few people in there.
Oh, yeah. We're going to go there. If there's fallout, that's where we go. I'm putting in my own fallout shelter, but if I don't have it prepared, then we'll just go hang out at his house for a couple of weeks.
Very good. All right. Well, this is really helpful, and it's hard to believe we're actually doing this, but we are. And the point, I think, above all, is that most people who are outside of a primary target are going to survive. And what are they going to do? What the hell are they going to do with no communication, no nothing? I personally think that they will have to, and I think that's what Starlink is all about, they will have to maintain the internet to some degree, even if it's a, like, come-to-Jesus internet party with, you know, the survivors in your area. They need to have a communication system. And I think the Internet will be preserved one way or the other. That's my guess.
Well, another thing you can do is get a shortwave radio, because countries like Argentina and Colombia aren't going to be attacked. Even Mexico won't be attacked.
No, you'll get
Able to get news from other countries that have not been attacked if you have a shortwave.
Yeah, a lot of shortwave radio opportunity out there. It's not very expensive. We should talk sometime about... ham radios, and citizens' band radios, and that too. They'll be useful unless they're fried with the EMPs. So there you go. You got to wrap everything up in some kind of a mesh, like a Faraday cage mesh.
Yeah.
That would be helpful. All right. Okay, amigo. Great job. You take care.
Okay,
Talk soon.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right. Stand by, and we shall continue with David Oates in just a few minutes.